Today our study is entitled The Greatest Fools of All Time. The Greatest Fools of All Time. And our text is in Psalm 14. Psalm 14 verse 1. Let's turn there if you would. Psalm 14 verse number 1. The words of Almighty God say this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Again, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words as you have preserved them without one single error in the good old King James Bible. Bless the lesson today. Bless your word as it goes forth. And we claim your promise, as you said it, would not return void. Bless the listener today. And if there's a soul listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would do that this very day. We commit this time into your hands, Father. We ask you have your will in your way. It's in Jesus' precious name. We pray and we give thanks. Amen. The greatest fools of all time. In the scripture, the word fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God in eternal happiness. It doesn't take you very long to realize as you go through and you read the words of God that the words of God have a lot to say about a fool. The characteristics of a fool are identified very explicitly in the Word of God. So no one should have a problem recognizing a fool when they meet one. Amen? Here are some of the things the Word of God says about a fool. A fool likes to do all the talking and dominate the conversation. A fool likes to do all the talking and dominate the conversation. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, in verse 14, the Word of God says, a fool is full of words. A fool is full of words. Another thing about a fool has slanderous words. A fool has slanderous words. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10, verse 18, the Word of God says, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. To slander someone is to say an accusation against someone without verifying that it is true. Another thing about a fool is a fool has swift words. A fool has swift words. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, the words of God say, a fool uttereth all his mind. In Proverbs 29, verse 20, the word of God says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Also, a fool talks without considering a matter. A fool talks without considering a matter. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. The words of God say, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. A fool also has a haughty, proud spirit. A fool has a haughty, proud spirit. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, the words of God say this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We often hear that as one of the philosophies of the world, do we not? When we're told to trust our heart. But the scriptures are contrary to that advice, because it says he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3, the words of God say, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." So we see then a fool has a haughty and proud spirit. A fool also has a stubborn spirit, a stubborn spirit. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the word of God says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So we see that a fool has a stubborn spirit. A fool is stubborn, therefore he is not teachable. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 5, the word of God says this, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction." You see, a fool is stubborn in rejecting the truths of the Bible about salvation, about service, about sin and separation. Amen? A fool also gets into arguments all the time. Maybe you know someone like this that likes to argue. Well, a fool gets into arguments all the time. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, the word of God says this, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." And then we see that a fool has a spirit that is quick to anger. A fool has a spirit that is quick to anger. Maybe you know someone like this, as someone has a very short fuse and gets angry all the time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, the word of God says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." And then in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16, the words of God say, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." So we see then that a fool has a spirit that is quick to anger. Also, a fool takes pleasure in mischief. A fool takes pleasure in mischief. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23, the words of God say this, "It is sport to a fool to do mischief." And then we see that a fool enjoys meddling in the affairs of others. A fool enjoys meddling in the affairs of others. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26, verses 17 through 19. The words of God say this, "He that passeth," Proverbs 26, verse 17 through 19, "he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." That's a pretty illustrative picture, is it not? Taking a dog, someone who passes by and meddleth with strife, in other words, gets involved in something he has no business to, is like one that pulls a dog's ear. We know what happens when we pull a dog's ear, amen? "As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, Am not I in sport? A gossip is willing to lie about others in order to stir up a fight. He is a gossip. He's always talking about other people to try to make people angry at them. So we see then the words of God have a lot to say, does it not, about a fool? His characteristics, amen? So maybe you've run into someone that displays some of these, or one of these, or all of these characteristics. So then the word of God clearly says that person is a fool. But in our lesson today, what I want us to look at, as I said as we began, the title of our lesson is The Greatest Fools of All Time. I want us to look at the great fools of all time as we see in the Word of God. The first one I want us to look at is the plenteous fool. The plenteous fool. And for that, we need to turn to Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12 will find the plenteous fool. The plenteous fool. Beginning in verse 15 of Luke 12, down to verse 21. The words of God have this to say. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So here we have the description of a man. He spent all his life making provisions only for the here and now. We see that God had blessed him abundantly, but he did not share his abundance with others. See? Instead of sharing his abundance, amen, with those who were truly poor and cast down. Amen. What did he do? He pulled down his barns, his existing barns, who could not hold the abundance of his crops. He pulled them down, and he built greater. Amen. Instead of being satisfied with what he already had, he wanted more. Instead of using what God had blessed him with to help others, he wanted it all for himself. We see that he was materially rich, was he not? Amen. But spiritually, his heavenly bank account had a balance of zero. See? Like so many people today, All their concern is about their balance sheet, their retirement accounts, their bank accounts. And whatever they have is still not enough. And they go about this life trying to accumulate as much as they can. Amen. As if they're going to live forever. Without even God in their conscience or thoughts. Without any thought of serving God. Or giving to the work of God. Are helping out others that are less fortunate than themselves. Instead of taking the blessings of God and sharing them with others. Amen. Keeping it all to themselves. That's what people are all about today, and sadly, I don't like to say it, but that describes a lot of people that go about calling themselves Christians, amen? So here we have this man. You see, he was only concerned about his treasures down on this earth. He wasn't thinking about the future, about eternity, about spiritually, where he would be when he left this life and went to the next. It wasn't even in the picture. It wasn't even on his radar, as they say today. All he was concerned about laying up treasures on this earth. Amen. And he did not lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. See, my dear friends, the things that we lay up in heaven, in our spiritual bank account, the things of this world, the corruption and decay, and the thieves of this world cannot touch it. Once it's put there, it is there, awaiting you when you leave this life and you step into eternity. No. Instead, this man, he laid up treasures on this earth, which soon became moth-eaten, rusted, and what was ever left over would be enjoyed by someone else. You see? He gave no thought for his soul. He made no provision for the hereafter. Notice with me what it says in the words of Almighty God in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 with me. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. See, what Jesus was trying to teach here, amen, in Luke chapter 12, as he began, he said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Before he went into this parable, he said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And then he gave this parable of a case of a man who did not take heed, and who was covetous, amen, and was only concerned about the abundance of things that he possesseth. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, you're probably familiar with these verses, but I hope today that they will take hold of you and you will take them to heart. Amen. Read them with me if you would. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, the words of God say this, for what shall it profit a man What shall it profit a man? What shall a man get? Amen. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Which this man we're talking about today, this plenteous fool, had gained the whole world. He had an abundance of things that he possesseth. But the question is asked, what shall it profit a man? Any man, this man, the plenteous fool, or any man on the face of the earth, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. See? The man, the plenteous fool, had gained the whole world, had gained all these material things. But when it came for his time to die and leave this world and go into the next, he was poor. He was spiritually bankrupt. Amen. He had not made any provisions for the hereafter. That is what mankind is all about today. That's what the devil has blinded man to. Has put in his heart covetousness. Amen. Accumulating wealth. And the more a person wants that old Adamic sinful nature, the more he wants, the more he wants, the more he wants. The more he has, the more he wants. The more he has, the more he wants. And it goes on and on and on until someday. The Lord says, as he said to our plenteous fool, amen, over there in Luke 12, amen, when finally that plenteous fool's time came, when his life would end, God said to him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What are those things going to do for you now, fool? The plenteous fool. And it's still the same thing, question is asked of those. When that time for them to come to die, their soul is required of God. What is the abundance of those things going to do? In verse 37 of Mark 8, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So what's going to happen? That plenteous fool and all that are like him, when it comes, when their soul is required, when it comes for them to die, amen, now what are they going to do? What are they going to have? Amen. To save their soul. What are they going to bring to God? Absolutely nothing. It's too late. God's going to look over and look at the bank account in heaven? No, it's empty. It's too late. It's too late, my friend. Amen. Today, right now, right now while you're alive, get right with God. If you're listening today and you're not saved, in other words, there's never been a time in your life that you can remember that you realize there's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God, to save your soul, that it's only in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that can save you and forgive you for all your sins, past, present, and future, and secure you a home in heaven. If there's never been a time in your life that you've done that, do it right now. From a heart of faith, the faith that God gives every one of us to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christian, if you're listening today, And you haven't been serving God like you should be serving God. And you haven't been putting up treasures in heaven. Amen. You're saved. Praise God for that. You know when you die, you'd go to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. But once you get saved, you need to go to work for the Lord. You need to serve the Lord. You need to bank up treasures in heaven and your spiritual bank account. How sad it will be to get at that judgment seat of Christ when they hand out, God hands out the rewards. Amen. And you come up empty-handed. There's nothing in your spiritual bank account. Amen. Right now, when you're still alive, while there's still time before that day comes where your soul will be required, where you'll step from this life into the next. Amen. Now is the day, time to be saved. And if you're saved, now is the time to be serving God. So when you hit that judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, there'll be no regrets. There'll be no regrets and sorrow. And then you'll get the crown or crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus. Getting back to our plenteous fool. He was trusting in his riches to get him through the day of God's wrath. He thought the two were connected. After all, hadn't God blessed him abundantly? Well, obviously, he thought when he left this world that God would continue to bless him and take him to heaven. That's what his religion taught him. That's probably what his parents taught him. Amen. Live for now. Don't worry about the time when it comes to die. It'll take care of itself. Everybody goes to heaven. That's the philosophy today. That's a damnable philosophy, amen. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you can come to the Father and be found righteous. Because when you get saved, God gives you His Son's righteousness. And it's only Jesus' righteousness that makes you righteous and justified, be able to stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 with me. So this man is trusting in his riches to get him through the day of God's wrath, the day that came. And his soul was required. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, the Word of God says, riches profit not in the day of wrath. If you're counting on your riches to save you, it's going to do absolutely nothing when it comes your time to die. But righteousness delivereth from death. Not your righteousness, my friend, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can have Christ's righteousness imputed unto you, amen, is to come to Him with childlike faith and believe in your heart that Christ died. He died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen. That's the only way that you can obtain that righteousness that delivereth from death. And the death the Bible is talking about is spending time in eternity in a lake of fire, my dear friend. That's awaiting you today if you've never trusted Jesus Christ in His shed blood to pay for all your sins and secure you a home in heaven. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining me for the Pastor Study. Till we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.